Warning, the Stone Age Gamer includes a lot of bad language. Cover your motherfucking ears.
Good evening and welcome to the Stone Age Gamer podcast. I'm Chris Randazzo, and joining me today is mustachioed Mayor Dan Ryan.
I've got the beard too, but I love a good mustache.
Did Hagar have a beard? No, I don't think so.
No, I'm saying mustache. I do.
Oh.
I do.
Because just makes... You're twice the mayor. If you could pile drive a bear, which I'm just going to imagine you can, then...
Oh, I totally can.
Done.
Pile drive 6 bears this afternoon. You don't know my life. You don't know what I did.
For God's sake, Dan, put up a fence. Welcome back to Mania. Tonight we wrap up our ultimate beat-em-up bracket. Which brawler will reign supreme? Chow down on some street meat because tonight's Stone Age, because the Stone Age Cameron podcast starts now. Oh, I almost nailed it.
Oh, man, almost nailed it. There was so much opportunity for alliteration there that you kind of skipped right over.
Yeah. Hey, everyone, this is episode 411.
Oh.
Imagine we did something informational. It's the week of May 20th, 2022.
Imagine we were clever.
Dan, have you heard the latest Nintendo controversy?
No, what's the latest Nintendo? I'm so excited. What is it?
It is all over Twitter. The Twitterverse is ablaze.
In that case, it's probably super serious and will matter to literally fucking no one.
The new Mario Strikers game is an abomination.
Is it? Why?
It's going to be horrible because it does not have, and I quote, as much personality as the previous one. Now, I have.
You haven't played it.
There
you don't
some
know
game...
how much fucking personality it has. You haven't played the goddamn. Oh my god.
Some footage came out of the Nintendo released some footage of a game being played. Mm. And the victory dances of Princess Peach and Rosalina were shown off. And they're not as aggressive as they were in the previous game from the Wii?
Okay. Wasn't that Goodness. Wii? Yeah, it was Wii or Wii U?
It was Wii. Well, the first one was GameCube, the second one was Wii, and it's been dead since. So, Mario Strikers. Let's get some dates on here, because, the world has changed since Luigi did the whole, like, pointing at his crotch thing.
So, they're not aggressive in that they're not like, fuck you, you piece of shit, or they're not sexy.
See... The sexy one is what I think the problem is, because Peach's victory...
That's what it is.
Because in the Mario Strikers original game, the animations in this new game are pretty aggressive, just like they were in the previous games. It's the, like, the complaints are like, oh no, the camera's not shaking around like it used to, and they're getting all up in there like it was a real cameraman on the field. That's what made the game special, Dan, and here I thought it was the gameplay, but no, it's
camera?
The camera's not shaking around enough, Dan, but when you look back at it's the Princess Peach one that they're specifically bitching about, and in the previous one, Princess Peach did a little, like, hip shake kind of sexy thing.
Yeah. It's what it is.
It was on the... Mario Strikers was phenomenal, and it was uncharacteristically aggressive for a Mario game.
Sure.
They have, no doubt, toned it down the overtly aggressive stuff like Luigi pointing at his crotch. Waluigi doing the whole crotch bang thing, which was always really unsettling.
And, like the DX thing?
Yes. He did that in the last Mario Strikers game, which was really weird.
That's
wild.
Look
that up on YouTube. It's wild.
I don't want to. I don't want to see that. Some shit I don't need in my life.
See, I find that odd that you don't want to see that.
I want to see a lot of weird shit. Don't get me wrong. There's stuff where people are like, hey, this is out there. I'm like, all right. Hold on. Unzips. But it's like, it's just, man, that is some, like, that is some basement dweller shit.
Yeah, I'm pretty, because her victory poses, her doing these, like, like with the hand, forward handsprings or whatever, but like slow. I don't know what that's called. I'm terrible with gymnastics names.
A front walkover?
Yeah, like that. Doing like a handful of those in a row. And I don't know. It looks awesome. The game looks fantastic. It's got that same art direction to it. It looks great. But this is a new Nintendo game, and it has fewer characters than Mario Strikers Charged did, which, again, that was on the Wii in 2007. So, generally speaking, things have changed in the world of how Mario games are presented since 2007.
But also, it has fewer characters so that they can charge you for DLC. Like, that sucks,
if they
but
even charge
up.
You for them! The Mario Sports games, they haven't charged you for any of them!
Don't be there!
But here's
Why
the thing.
Why is this news?
This has 10 characters to start with. The first, and everyone's, and I saw this earlier before, right before coming on the show. It has half as many characters as the previous game. Guess how many characters the previous game had?
Well, you said 10, and 10 is half of 20.
Uh-huh.
So that would be 20, Chris.
Yeah, no, Mario Strikers Charge had 12 characters.
Oh, well, half of that would be 6.
And the first Mario Strikers had 8.
Oh, half of that would be 4. Neither of those numbers is 10.
Correct.
That's why I said different things.
See, now I think I understand what they're getting at is that the so 1 2 3 4 5 6 7 8 9 10 11 and 12 were the you got to play you had captains and then you got to like fill the rest of your team with sidekick characters. So okay. Technically it is missing a bunch of other characters technically.
Sure.
But the game functions differently now. So instead of doing captains and side characters, every character can be whatever position you put them in except goalies, because the goalies are always boom booms now, whereas in the previous game they were critters.
Okay.
So
I'm failing to see what the issue is here, Chris.
I am too, because Golf and Mario Tennis, they've had free DLC that follows up with more characters after it came out. And not only that, but I know those games have their problems, but Mario Tennis had a lot of personality too, which I'm finding it hilarious that everyone is whitewashing that one up. Like, right, that, oh, Mario Tennis and Mario Golf and Super Rush, they're freaking awful. They were terrible games. Like, did you not see the previous Mario Tennis game that was on Wii U that had nothing in it at all? And then this one was supported with a ton of DLC. I know it didn't have the full RPG mode that you wanted. Therefore, the game is trash. No, it's not trash. It's fun. It's a really good game of tennis with a ton of characters. I haven't played Mario Golf. I can't speak to that, but it did seem like it was moving in the right direction, as opposed to being super bare bones like the previous entries were. This one in particular, though, is just, it's bothering me so much, because what the hell's wrong with people? You're getting a new Mario Strikers game, and the team that made the previous one, friggin' Next Level Games, is making this one, and it looks fun as hell. So Peach shake her hips.
But Chris, oh no. Have you thought about what I'm going to jerk off to?
I mean,
clearly not!
Clearly not.
Clearly
I'm
not. Not.
I'm not putting enough effort into... Oh boy, Evan just linked us to 10 minutes of Waluigi crotch chop. Thank you, Evan. Doing the Lord's work.
Believe when I attack that idea, I don't give a shit what you jerk off to. Go nuts. Like, I'm not judging that aspect of it. I would never ever kink shame. However, the game isn't out. You haven't played it. The personality of a video game is not something you get from screenshots or video. Rocket League is so stupid on paper and in description and in screenshot and in video. You don't get it. But when you play Rocket League, the personality that comes through that game is un-fuck-deniable. It's not a thing. The trick. God damn it. Your Twitter makes me really angry. My Twitter is great. I don't know what you're doing wrong. My algorithm
wrong either.
Is wrestling and boobs and beer and comic books and weird art. And yours is a bunch of Cheeto-dusted trolls. And it's really sad, Chris. You need to get a new Twitter account.
I am watching
fix your algorithm.
The gameplay video, like the full match. Nintendo posted a full match of gameplay, and this does not look like other Mario sports games. This looks like Mario Strikers. Mario Strikers is so freaking cool, and it's one of those things. I can't believe that they're even making it to this degree now, like with this personality, because they have really, really formatted what the Mario characters look and act like way more since 2007. Like, it's been pretty well defined, and this Mario Strikers is aggressive Mario Strikers stuff, and it has that art direction that's very, it's far more edgy and electric. And we're talking about a game of soccer where the walls are electrified. One of the new things you can do is there's team tackle, which is awesome, because you can have, so you have one of your characters is running in front of another one of your characters. You can tackle your own teammate to launch them into another player at a greater force to tackle them. You can literally use your own teammates as weapons.
Yeah, that sounds super fun.
I am so into this. And
it might suck. It might be awful.
I doubt it.
But it's just not something you can know.
Yeah.
These are the same people that fucking type ratio when people write shit on Twitter. Like, that is some basement-dwelling nonsense. And I hate it. It's just so needlessly negative, man.
Yeah.
It's just no need for it.
It's so needless. I do not understand how anyone who is a fan of this series can look at this and say, like, okay, maybe it's not exactly as crazy over the top, no crotch chopping action that I was hoping for, but that was little bits of icing on top of what made this game special in the first place. What made Mario Strikers special in the first place was the game, and this looks like a new Mario Strikers. How could you be mad at this? This looks amazing. I mean, seriously, my only sadness about this is that I don't think Ellie's going to like it at all, because this is, I mean, it's soccer. It's so much more complex to play as a video game than tennis and golf and bowling.
It isn't, though. It doesn't have to be.
It's more moving of a character around instead of like, okay, just do this and then do this. Like this is what I'm looking at. Like, we've got to move around and be on a team, and hopefully it's fun enough that, and there's like helpful enough things where she won't get too stressed out by it. I'm not even sure Karen's going to enjoy this, but John is stoked on this, and I'm really excited about it because I loved the first two games.
It's weird,
I'm
man.
Super excited about it. It's weird. The people internet's weird. People are weird. Just, I mean,
people are weird.
And then, like, if you defend it, if you say it's okay, then it's, you know, oh, you're just a Nintendo sycophant. You're just a Nintendo fanboy that forgives them for all of their misdeeds because they're this horrible company that just puts no effort into anything. Everything's sterile and awful now. And it's like, dude, Kirby and the Forgotten Land just came out. It just came out. I get it. Switch Sports isn't everything you wanted it to be, but you know what? Go back and play Wii Sports Club and tell me that Switch Sports isn't a step forward in just about every direction.
I just don't understand, man. Like, there's so much negativity in the world. There's just no need for it, man. Twitter's a weird, terrible place.
It really is.
I enjoy my Twitter. Like I said, like, my Twitter, and there is, like, certainly some negativity to be on there, and, you know, that, but some of that stuff is just unavoidable. You know what I mean? I follow people who talk about video games, and then I got to hear about the fucking Fox News host who asked the expert over the weekend if video games are to blame for the shooting in Buffalo.
Yep.
Like, yep. Like that kind of stuff comes through. Mm-hmm. And, like, fuck that guy and fuck Tucker Carlson and all of that stuff. But, like, for the most part, you know, like, unless there is a, unfortunately, seemingly frequent tragic event that happens, that's just, like, I've tried to curate most of that stuff out of, you know, out of my Twitter feed and my Instagram feed. Like, honestly, and I know Instagram is, like, still owned by Facebook or it's part of the metaverse or whatever the fuck Zuckerberg is doing. Instagram is probably my favorite social media app to be on. There's, like, next to no negativity on there from what I've, like, the way I've whittled things down on Instagram. It makes me very happy most of the time, like 99%, but, you know.
I mean, it's garbage. Like, this is one of the reasons I got off of social media for a few weeks ago, and then, like, you know, tragedies happen, and then I'm reminded how everyone wants to be John McClane, everyone wants to be the good guy with the gun. And that's not a conversation I want to have. That's just something I want to stay the hell away from. But it shows up in my feed and I get angry. Yeah. And then I go to Escaped, like, okay, well, what's going on in the world of video games? Oh, cool. They showed off the victory animations for Rosalina and Peach. Those look fantastic. And then I made the mistake of looking at the comments
the comments, man.
Cool. Let's see what other people think of this. Oh, everyone thinks it's horrible.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are we looking at the same thing here? How could you not be happy about this?
People are miserable, man.
Everything's got to be everything. It has to be, like, every single game has to be, even Smash Ultimate wasn't enough. And they put everything into that damn game. But if it's not, every single thing. But there could have been
more, Chris.
Every sequel has to have everything that was in every game that came before it. All of them. Plus a ton of new things. Everything has to be a billion times better than the last thing, and everything has to be the best-selling thing that ever was. Because remember, Metroid Dread's the best-selling Metroid game ever, but it didn't quite hit that 3 million mark, so, oh well, it's fucking trash, right?
It's piece of garbage.
Piece of garbage.
Well, and it's just the very idea that a piece of art has to sell well to be enjoyable or to be good is counter to the very concept of what art is. And, like, make no mistake, video games are art. Yeah, like, it's a wild thing that I think, unfortunately, a lot of people don't understand based on the way that they've been manipulated and, you know, the way that their algorithms and their feeds and their influences and all of the things that go up into making a person who they are. You know, like, there are people in the world that think you should only sing if you're good at it. That's absurd.
That is absurd.
If you're bad at singing, but you fucking love singing, you go be the worst possible singer possible. Like, just, but if it makes you happy and it doesn't hurt anyone, then that's okay. Life is short. Don't spend so much time being upset about shit that literally doesn't concern you at all. If you don't like it, change the fucking channel. It's pretty simple. It's wild, man. It's wild. I don't understand. I'm sure. I'm gonna watch this, right? Here's how I segue. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Here's how I fucking mall cop my way. Get it? Segue? Very funny. TBS, very funny. here's how I mall cop us into this. I am sure that there are people just tearing the announcement from PlayStation today to little bitty pieces. I don't know that they are, because I didn't look at any of the comments. Because PlayStation on their blog today announced all the stuff for PlayStation Plus 2.0, and I am very satisfied, very happy with what they're going to be offering. I'm sure it's getting killed. I'm sure it is.
I haven't seen anybody complaining about it so far. The only complaint that I've seen, and it's not even really a complaint, more of an observation of like, hey, this is great. Kind of sucks if there was only one PSP game, but you know, whatever.
But you'll get there.
Yeah. Where did you sent me that list, but where did you post it?
I did. I put it in the Facebook chat. I have.
Oh, you sent it to me, not.
I sent it to you personally. Got yes. It. Yes, in a very sexy picture. So,
what's the overall list here?
It's huge, and I don't necessarily think we should go.
Let's break them all down.
Let's read every single game on the list.
Oh boy. Yeah. All right. So we've got Celeste. We've got Dead Cells. We've got Demon's Souls. Everybody's Golf.
Ghost Death Stranding Director's Cut. Like, I'll jump back into that. Curious to. I'll deliver some more packages.
Loco Roco Remastered. Guarding the Galaxy. All right.
Yep. That's
and this on is there. This is basically like Game Pass, right? That's what this is.
Yes
and
no.
For this service, and then you get all these games for when they're available for free on this service.
Yep.
Okay.
But then
additional
as you
games
go.
With PS Plus Premium.
Yes, if you go into the higher tiers.
Now so, we're cooking.
Ape Escape.
Fantavision, baby.
That's right. No, Ape Escape. Ape Escape 2. Very excited about that. Hot Shots Golf and Tennis. The original Jack and Daxter, like the whole thing.
Jumping Flash
and IQ. Those games didn't sell worth a damn. But you should
nice
play them.
Nice to see them on there.
My opinion.
Oh, Siphon Filter's on there, too.
Yeah, the original Siphon Filter. If you look at the streamable games, so all the PS3 stuff is streamable. It's not downloadable because of whatever that cell processor nonsense was that they did.
Oh, that was the other thing. Was no PS2 games.
No, that's not true. Dark Cloud. Dark Cloud 2. Those are PS2 games. What you see on the list are like remasters for PS4.
Gotcha.
But there are...
That's what these are. These are the PS4 remasters. There's no just PS2 games on here.
Right.
Which, you know, all right, we're getting the remasters, fine. But I wonder what the deal is with the lack of direct PS2 stuff.
Well, and this is just a preview of what will be available. But like Puppeteer and Rain. Rain is such a cool game. It's so cool and so interesting. Like, I'm excited that people will be able to get to play that. And fucking Tokyo Jungle is on there. Mm-hmm. Tokyo Jungle is batshit crazy. That game is nuts. It's post-apocalyptic Tokyo, and you could be a Pomeranian that, like, eats bears. It's amazing. The game is so great. And it's so weird, and it's not a thing that, like, you would rush out to drop a bunch of money on, or, like, that you have to have in your collection. But the price, $18 a month, there is a ton of content. Old school stuff, new stuff getting added to it. Like, I'm so excited about it. So excited about it. But I'm sure it exists where it's getting crushed somewhere. Because it's not Games Pass.
Yeah,
because
you know
you're
what,
not going to have... Like, when God of War Ragnarok comes out, it's not going to be on this. And Sony, they just don't have it like Microsoft has it. Like, let's be honest, Microsoft is a much bigger company than Sony. They have fuck you money. You know what I mean? Like, they have a ridiculous amount of money. And I forget, Ken something, or whoever the current face of PlayStation is, came out in an interview. And he was like, look, if you want us to put, Horizon Forbidden West and God of War Ragnarok and, you know, this Wolverine game, like, if you want all of our first party stuff to be available on this subscription service, then we got to cut the budgets for them. Because the simple fact of the matter is that if you're paying, if I have 100 people who pay $18 for something, versus 100 people that pay $60 for something. Well, if people only paid $18, I made a lot less money. And video games, I don't know if anybody knows this, for the most part, are really expensive to make. And he was honest, like, and I sort of appreciate that honesty. Sony cannot take a loss Nintendo is the same way. They're not, those two companies are not in a position to take a loss like Microsoft does. They are not making a profit on first party stuff. They just aren't. And it's something
I think Nintendo's business is a little bit different than that. Also, Nintendo has they're not involved. They don't have their fingers in as many pies as Sony.
For sure.
They don't have the same fuck you money that Microsoft does, but they do have a significant war chest. Like,
oh sure, so
as
does
we
Sony.
Saw with Wii U, like, and whatnot, they can launch a system like the Virtual Boy and come out the other end being like, well, probably shouldn't do that again for a couple of years, but
whoops,
we're fine.
Our bad. And don't get me wrong, like I'm not crying poor for Sony here. Like, they're doing okay. That Spider-Man movie was pretty popular. You know what I mean? Like, Sony as a whole has that, but they still don't have the ability to take a loss the same way that Microsoft does. Like, that's just a fact, you know? Like, there's a couple companies on the planet right now, you know, Microsoft, Amazon, that could lose $1 billion for the next couple of years and still be fine. And that's absurd. Like, that's a level of money that we can't even really, you know, talk about. But it's just, it's not Games Pass. It's not going to be Games Pass. And I'm cool with that. Like, for where I am as a gamer at this point in my life, I'll pay the $60 for Ragnarok. I don't buy a lot of $60 games. You know what I mean? I buy 3-4 a year. I can afford that. The rest of the stuff I buy is like, you know, $20 games, $25 games. So this, for me, I was really, really excited. I can't wait to jump back into, like, the original Hot Shots Golf. Tekken 2 is on here.
The face of PlayStation that you were talking about is currently Jim Ryan.
Jim Ryan. Yeah, that guy. He doesn't do a great job most of the time.
No, in fact, he was just in the news this past week for an email he sent out. We owe it to each other and to PlayStation's millions of users to respect differences of opinion among everyone in our internal and external communities. Respect is not an equal agreement, but is a fundamental to who we are as a company and as a valued global brand. This was in response to their employees having some issues with the current state of abortion in the United States. And then he followed up that with, but let's change topic to my cats. So he basically sent an email saying, like, you guys should respect each other's opinions on this whole abortion, right? It shouldn't be something that you get all mussy about, right? Just, here's some pictures of my cats. He went on for paragraphs about his cats' various birthday parties with cakes and stuff. In an email about telling his employees not to get too upset about abortion rights.
I get what you were going for, sir. Swing and a miss. Maybe try again. So, like, I respect the hell out of Bungie. I don't know if you saw what Bungie did.
I did, yeah.
I was like, right on, Bungie. You fucking go out there. You know, that's awesome. But, he's not great most of the time. I appreciated the honesty, though.
Yeah, you're right.
I appreciated the honesty. Like, we're not going to put these games on here because if we do that, we're going to make less money, and then our budgets are going to be less, and the games are going to suffer. Okay, cool. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know, but I'm going to take it at face value and move on, because ultimately, I don't give a shit. You know, like, that's just me.
Yeah.
I find it somewhat interesting from what I can tell, just talking to, like, friends who have Xboxes and whatnot, a lot of first-party Microsoft stuff has been, like, good, but hasn't exactly blown the doors off everyone like they were expecting it to. Now, I can't speak to that personally. Just, you know, parroting things that I've heard personally from people, mm-hmm. whether that's true or not. You know, like, the new Halo game didn't blow, you know, a couple of my friends up in North Jersey and whatnot. They were like, it's all right. I don't see it being talked about a ton. That's not a great sign.
Yeah, no, it kind of... It I felt like when it first came out, there was a really a whole lot of real positivity surrounding it, especially as like a bit of a course correction, but it seems that it hasn't really...
Stuck?
Yeah, it hasn't really stuck.
Yeah, I don't know. And I hope that's not the case. I hope it's awesome.
Yeah, I'm sure there's lots of people that are currently enjoying the crap out of it.
Yeah.
Well, we're just not talking about it that much.
I think that's also part of it, too, like that we oftentimes get lost in the echo chamber that is our own bullshit of, like, if nobody is talking about it here on my algorithm-dominated feed, then it must not be happening. Like, I know I'm certainly guilty of that. You know? And it's a hard thing to kind of crack through, but I don't know. Whatever. She should just be sexier, Chris. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, that's really what it,
that's really what it boils down to.
What she should just be nude. I hate sauerkraut. That's all I'm really trying to say here. This is another great news story that happened just the other day. Let's see, this comes from Atari Age. The Video Game History Foundation discovered Van Mai, who developed Wabbit for the VCS 2600 40 years ago and was the first female programmer who developed a game with a female protagonist. This person has been, they've been looking for this woman for a good long while now.
Yeah.
And she, I mean, obviously she had no idea anyone was looking for her because... She was, I think she was a Vietnamese refugee who came to America and then wound up just getting a job working for, was it Games by Apollo?
Okay.
And made a game called Wabbit. And, you know, now here we are all these years later. She didn't realize that she made the first video game with a human female protagonist, first console video game with a human female protagonist. She had no idea that she was had made history, but people have been trying to find her, and it was I think it was that she got married and changed her name, and nobody had, but that she's been found, and now she was interviewed, and like she just lived a normal life after that. Had no real idea that she had done something so important to the history of video games, but she has been found and interviewed, and she's lived a happy life, and. It's totally awesome that this person was found. I love that. I love this story. I'm going to throw a link
really
to it
awesome.
In the show notes or something, because I'm not doing it any justice here, but it's, I've never played Wabbit, but,
I have no idea what
that is.
It was
the Video Game History Foundation that found her. A year-long search for a lost video game pioneer comes to a happy conclusion. It's our honor and privilege to introduce you to Van Mai, the innovator who brought female representation to home video games 40 years ago. Absolutely awesome.
That's so great.
Yeah.
I have a piece of good news as well, Chris.
I love good news.
Not anywhere near as like impactful or touching as that. This is just like, it's just really good news. So AEW wrestling is, in my opinion, really, really great. Has been really, really fun. They've been doing a lot of really good stuff. And... one of the things that I've been very much looking forward to from AEW has been their new game, okay? The game is going to be called Fight Forever, all right?
Is this the wrestling RPG I've heard about?
No, that's a different thing. That's okay. Something that Patrick is working on that I pitched to Lucas. We'll see how that goes. Mostly because Patrick was like, yeah, I'll get you a build of it. I was like, all right, sweet. Let me try and convince Nintendo Force to put it in there. No, this is a wrestling video game. Like a straight-up wrestling video game. And one of the founding members of AEW is Kenny Omega, right? Kenny Omega, I wrote about him before during the Why I Love Wrestling, and like he retweeted it out, which was really cool. He is a huge video game nerd, like big time. Like his Twitter handle is Kenny Omega Man X, kind of thing. Really, really good dude. He got injured, which unfortunate, but gave him time to be involved with the development of the video game. Not really from a technical standpoint, just from a, this isn't fun, make this more fun. You know, like that kind of standpoint. And he was able to, because he lived and worked in Japan for a number of years, through his connections over in Japan, he was able to get the director of WWF No Mercy, Geta Iwashita. He was able to get him involved with AEW Fight Forever. So the director of No Mercy is working on the AEW game. That's really the best news you could possibly hope for this video game.
Nice. Right?
No Mercy is incredible. Those N64 WWE games, or I think they were still WWF at that point, are just some of the most fun sports games, wrestling games, fighting games, whatever. They're just great. And if this game captures a little bit of that spirit, it'll just be incredible. The WWE games have been really more missed than hit over the last decade or so. Some have been really fun, but they've gotten so bogged down with systems and stuff that it's just not a fun wrestling game anymore. It's almost a chore to play. If this can get back to that simplicity with a good creator wrestler and the roster that AEW has, like, this is going to be incredible. I'm so fucking excited for this game. It's just good news.
That is good news. And I'm very happy for you and all the people involved. Even I enjoy those wrestling games.
How could you not? They're just fun.
They are. They're just fun.
It's just one of those things. It's just, this is fun. I don't even if you don't like wrestling, this is fun.
Well, let's see here. We should probably move things along. We have much to discuss, but I want to talk about what I've been playing. Have you been playing anything of note this week?
Nothing too crazy. Nothing really new, just kind of maintaining the stuff that I've been working on. I fell behind on the show, so I've been like scrambling to catch up and try and complete, or I'm not going to complete this month's inning program, but I'm a decent chunk of the way through, just trying to unlock some cards. I'm playing through Kenna. I'm still playing. There's been a challenge dungeon in PAD that Discord listener Rumplemans was able to clear, but I don't have a particular card. I don't have New Year's Reach, and it's made it difficult for me to clear. I've been banging my head against the wall trying to get through it. So really just kind of like maintenance stuff. I haven't done anything new. Been boring this week.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I've been considerably less boring. I've had a lot going on this week.
What do you got?
Some pretty exciting stuff. Well, first off, non-video game, we showed John Jurassic Park.
How'd that go?
It went fucking great.
It's a great movie.
He loved
it,
and he wasn't scared at all.
That's
which
awesome.
Which fulfills my, this is exactly what I thought was going to happen. Dude got scared at the end of Return of the Jedi. Like, he gets scared of live-action stuff. But how cool the dinosaurs were completely overrode his fear.
Yeah.
Also, probably didn't hurt that I found out later that he had seen several of the scariest scenes already on YouTube through the Lego games.
Oh, well, there you go.
But yeah, no, he loved it. He thought it was great. He thought there should have been more people running away from T-Rexes. it's like, there weren't a lot of T-Rex chase scenes. And I was like, well, that's the thing. You can't have a lot of T-Rex chase scenes because T-Rexes are faster than people.
Yeah, it's going to end pretty horribly for most people involved.
There's not a lot of like running away from a T-Rex. It's almost as fast as like a slow car. So it's not really going to work. But he watched a few weeks ago Ice Age: Dawn of the Dinosaurs, and he has now been obsessing over the video game adaptation of that. He's been watching this long play of it, of all the bosses, over and over and over again, and quoting it nonstop, playing it over, and as soon as he stops, he starts going over it in his head and reciting it from beginning to end. Everything that the characters say while running away from the T-Rex, and it's like, there's a whole, like, 3-minute long chase scene where the sloth character is running away from a T-Rex who's chasing him. And okay, this works in the context of Ice Age, but you realize, like, they were driving away from a T-Rex and it almost caught him. So, but no, he absolutely loved Jurassic Park. That was a big parenting win for us. So we were very happy about that. Let's see. I did a quick sidestep away from Mega Man 10 in our Mega Man playthrough stuff to mm-hmm. play Powered Up with John.
Nice.
Cause it's been a very long time since I played it. And, I just busted out the old PSP and we got all the way up to the copy robot stage. And I didn't go back to it today because, like, that's the boss rush. And in that game, they don't give you power-ups. Like, they don't give you any health back for beating them. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to do all the bosses and copy robot with no health, get no health back. And Alakman's a bitch in that game.
Yeah.
And he's a bitch in the original one, too. So I didn't go back to it today, also because it's on the PSP. So it's like he's crowding around me playing on this tiny little PSP 2000. It's like,
You should definitely get PPSSPP and play it that way. It looks better. You can play it with a controller.
Yeah, I need to get that set up in some way, shape, or form. I am hoping to put that on my VCS. Like I had this thing in my mind that I wanted to be just this Atari machine, but now I'm like, you know what? I should just use the PC mode thing and load this up with every emulator. Like, just get it going.
Yeah,
and
for
have
sure.
that be my emulation machine on my TV, because I want to use to replace the PC that you gave me in the arcade cabinet, I want to use my Pi. I need to get that all properly set up.
Yeah, for sure. You definitely should.
Yeah, I need to. There's a whole process involved in getting it set up, but I ordered the part that lets the Pi communicate to the X arcade. So I have all it. I just need to dedicate like a day to figuring out how to make that all work properly, because I connected the Pi to it once just to kind of mess with it with the controller, and like it runs everything so much better. It's because, you know, the PC is great for what it is, but like, The whole like HDMI connection and everything works so much prettier
running sure.
it through the Pi. So that's the idea, to eventually upgrade to that. But yeah, Powered Up is just as good as it's just as good as we said it was. The game's outstanding.
It's great.
We finished Mega Man 10 and we started Mega Man 9, where I'm through most of the Robot Masters now. I think I have two left in 9, and 9's still great. Still feel like I'm just really confirming everything we said during our Mega Man
we weren't bullshitting
thing. Like 10 is all right, 9 is great. 9 really is a very, very good Mega Man game. Let's see, I've been doing a little bit more Ring Fit, blah de blah de blah. All right, the interesting stuff. I got Chrono Cross and my Final Fantasy things in the mail,
which is about damn time.
Yeah, about damn time. Actually, it turns out I got them only like a day or two after most other people got them who didn't pay for the expedited shipping.
Sure.
So
sure.
It's nice to have them. The Final Fantasy thing is great to me because, I mean, no secret, I'm not the biggest fan of Final Fantasy VII, but I just had to own it on a cartridge because of that old advertisement.
Like, for sure. Yeah.
I'm trying to find a good printout of that advertisement, and I really just want to get it framed with with the game next to it. Like, I just want to frame the ad and the game next to it, and I kind of want to do the same thing. I'm not sure I want to spend the money on it, but there's part of me that wants to do the same thing with Night Trap. Get a picture of what's his name, Howard Lincoln.
Yeah,
saying to Congress, Night Trap will never be on a Nintendo system, and then just frame it next to a copy of Night Trap on Switch. You know, just those beautiful pieces of history, because, like, Final Fantasy VII is never going to be something I'm going to have a hard time finding a way to play. Like, I have the digital version on Switch. It's been re-released over and over and over again. Like,
yeah.
That's never going to be a problem. So having that framed isn't really going to bother me. And I might play 8 again someday, but probably not.
Nah, definitely not.
8's fine.
You're not going to. It's good.
Didn't leave a lasting impression on me enough to go back and play it again.
Yeah.
Chrono Cross, on the other hand, it's been a really interesting experience so far. I haven't put a ton of time into it. I booted it up, and John and I wanted to play. John really wanted to see Chrono Cross. So we played through the first, you know, bit of the game. He's really enjoying the music, and the battle system is, you know, kind of getting myself back into the swing of how the battle system in this game worked with all the percentages and the multiple hits and stuff. It's yeah. very active, which is pretty cool. It's you know, I think it looks great. It's an upscaled version of the PlayStation 1 game. It's the PS1 game that doesn't look like a garbled PS1 mess like the original does. Like, yes, there are some frame rate issues, and yes, Square should be embarrassed because this game should run buttery smooth. But you know what? Link's Awakening didn't run buttery smooth either. Not that, I mean, that was a far more thorough remake than this, but still, okay, fine. Yeah, that sucks, but it's still Chrono Cross. I would still so much rather play this than pop in my PlayStation 1 version.
For sure.
Any day of the week. Because the last time I played this, I thought that I would want to play this again. This was maybe like 10 years ago. I threw my Chrono Cross disc in my PlayStation 3, and I made it up to where you're trying to get the lizard scales in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And I just stopped. I was like, I can't play games that look like this anymore. I had a hard enough time playing it on my CRT back in the old days, but like now that I can see everything, where in older pixel art games that looked great to me, polygonal stuff looks so much worse the cleaner it gets.
Yeah, there's a movement now to like make games particularly in that N64 PlayStation 1 style. You know, because for the last number of years, it's been 8-bit and 16-bit, you know, has been the retro style du jour, as it were. Mm-hmm. And now that developers, or new developers, are old enough to enter the scene with their indie games, they grew up on N64 and PlayStation 1 polygonal shit. And that's what they're making their games like on purpose. And yeah, I see it and think to myself, dear God, why yeah. would you do that to anyone? But to them, it's the same way we feel about Super Metroid, which is, you know, entirely valid.
It is, but also most of the stuff that they're making looks better than PS1 games. Most of the stuff that they're making,
I don't know, some of the shit my kids have shown me, I'm like, oh, I mean, all right, go on with your bad self. Yeah, I don't know how to do that, but
it's pretty yucky. But at the same time, it's still better than it was, unless you're Metal Gear Solid. Like,
yeah,
it's a thing. But Chrono Cross is an interesting experience so far. I do want to put as much effort as I can to try and play through this one and maybe beat it this time, depending on how far, depending on when it loses me. But it is a PS1 RPG for sure. I don't remember a lot of this game past its opening. I know I got really far into it. I was on my way to, like, I think I got all the way up to almost the last boss before my vacation time ran up when I played it when it came out the first time. And by the time I got to that point, I was spending pretty much like before every fight, I was spending like a good 15-20 minutes just allocating all the moves to every character. I was so deeply involved in this weird metagame of making sure I had all the right moves for all the right characters that I just making progress became impossible to me.
You're that guy who beats an RPG with 999 or 9,999 health potions. I might need them.
I might need them. I might need them.
I've never used literally one, but I might need it.
So I'm gonna try to not fall into that trap. This morning, however, I finally, you know, had, you know, a little time to myself, and I booted up Radical Dreamers, which was a crazy experience for me because I've wanted to play this game for eons, and I've never messed with the fan translations. I don't know why. I just never did. But here's the official, you know, the official English translated version of Radical Dreamers, the BSX Satellaview weirdo sort of sequel to Chrono Trigger that I've wanted to play forever. I mean, I heard about this like when it was happening. And like EGM posted something on it. I was like, you got to be kidding me. And it's nuts. It is a freaking text adventure. And it has the battle music from Chrono Cross in it, but like Super Nintendo style, which is so cool because like I got to a part where our characters were being attacked and like you've got to choose like what are you going to do? It's like a little, it's a text adventure. And then when that happened, it started playing the battle music. It's like, this is so freaking wild. And the characters, it's Kid Sergei and I don't know how you say the last one, but I assume it's from what little I've seen of the
it's
character.
Pronounced Steve.
There you go, Biff. good old Biff. It looks like it's supposed to be invoking thoughts of like maybe this is a descendant of Magus or something. I'm not sure because it's a it's a mage type character with a name that's like Magus but not and has long gray hair. So okay, but Kid and Sergei are the other two characters, and they look completely different from how they look in Chrono Cross. But also some of Kid's dialogue is like the same as the intro from Chrono Cross. Like I forget exactly what she says. It's something like, you know, time to go. It's whatever she says when she's like, all right, Lynx, we're coming for you. We're going to kick your ass or something like that. It was almost word for word that in Radical Dreamers. It was so, it's so weird playing this. It is so weird. And that's worth every penny to have that on a cartridge that I could play for the rest of my life as the 16-bit follow-up to Chrono Trigger. That's super weird and doesn't make any sense. I'm just over the moon. I'm so happy that I'm finally getting to play this. This is wild.
That's awesome.
It is. It really is. I got a couple of games for review for Nintendo Force that are really interesting. The first one I'll talk about is Slipstream. This one I saw a trailer for from a couple of months ago, maybe. It's a racing game that looks like it's very much inspired by Outrun visually. Like it is doing a take on the Sega Superscalar graphics. So when I saw the trailer for this, I was like, yeah, I'll try this. Absolutely. 100%. And then I just kind of forgot about it. But then it showed up as an option for review and Nintendo Force was like Slipstream. And then I looked it up. It's like, oh, it's this game. I forgot about this game. Yes, I would like to review this, please. And so I got the assignment and I downloaded it, and it is not really what I expected. Because while all of its visuals are very much inspired by Outrun and Sonic the Hedgehog.
Okay.
Like, there was a menu or a loading screen that is quite literally the wavy line red and blue and whatnot of like intro zones in Sonic 2. Like, it is not hiding its love for Sonic the Hedgehog at all. In fact, when you're playing the single player game, when you're going through the race, they're all kind of connected. And you have a choice to go, you know, one way or the other to go to the next course. And like half the courses are named after like Oil Ocean and stuff. Like they're named after zones from Sonic the Hedgehog games.
Wow.
So like, okay. But the thing that was really interesting to me is that I expected this to play like Outrun or Horizon Chase Turbo or something. And this game is all about drifting. It is
okay.
All drifting almost all the time. You are constantly like 75 to 80%. Now I'd say at least 80 to 85% of every race is just managing drifting. The rest
of it
is managing trying to catch slipstreams, which is drafting.
Yeah.
So you have to, if you can get behind somebody else and start drafting, the word slipstream starts forming. And if that gets filled up, then you get that speed boost from a draft. But you also have to constantly be managing the drifting, which is not my favorite thing to do.
Sure.
I get it. It's a different kind of racing game. But it's one of the reasons I love Horizon Chase Turbo, because that's not all drifting. That's just arcade racing. This is just constantly managing drifts. Now, you can have that done automatically, but you'll almost never win a race past like the easiest of the easiest modes. If you're auto drifting, then you're just not going to get very far unless you're really good at the slipstream stuff.
Yeah.
You have to do this manually, and there's not a lot of indicators for when turns are coming, or even more importantly, because of all the drifting, there's not a lot of indicators of when a turn's going to end, which is a huge pain in the ass, because you'll be drifting, and then all of a sudden a turn ends, and you have to get out of the drift and stay back on course, and then be prepared to jump into the next drift for the next gigantic turn that's coming up.
Yeah.
It's really a pretty stressful way to drive.
Which is why I don't do it on the highway.
But, exactly. It mitigates this, however, because it's all very 80s themed. Like, the music is very 80s themed. It sounds very... The music is very good. It all sounds very, like, from that era. It's doing that 80s homage thing.
Cool.
The way it mitigates this whole drifting being very difficult to start and end is that you have a limited rewind feature.
Oh, cool. That
recharges. You can use it, but you can, after you use it once, you have to wait like 5 seconds for it to recharge before you can use it again. So you get like two shots at most of the turns, because if you miss on the first one, you can rewind for 5 seconds, but then if you miss it on the second one, then you're stuck with the consequences of missing the turn and crashing.
Yeah.
Which means you're probably not recovering for the rest of this race. And the rewind function looks like rewinding a VHS tape, which is pretty cool.
That's really cool. That just reminded me too. They did say that some of the PlayStation games will have rewind as well.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Sorry.
That's very, very good to hear. I love that. So yeah, that's Slipstream. I am not in love with it. There's something about the visuals that are not quite there.
Okay.
They're emulating that super scalar stuff, but it's not quite as...
Hitting.
It's not quite as bold. Like,
okay.
That stuff, when you're playing Outrun and going through like some of the crazy stuff, it's huge. It's everywhere. It's in your face. And this one, I think because of the nature of the course is having to be so wide because of how much drifting you have to do.
Yeah.
You're not seeing quite as much of the stuff that's super scalar slapping you in the face while you're playing. So the effect doesn't seem as impressive, but it's really cool to see it emulating the super scalar visuals with such a smooth frame rate. So there's just something about it that seems more empty than the actual super scalar games that it's pulling its influence from.
Okay.
And I just don't think the drifting stuff is as fun as I would. It's not what I want out of a racing game.
Sure.
So I'm not personally enjoying it all that much. It is pretty light on content too. But I don't think it's very expensive either. So it's decent, but it's not grabbing me as much as I wanted it to, you know? And I think it's just because it's ultimately not my kind of racing game. I think if you're into just managing drifting, which I guess is a thing that people like to do, then this game could be really up your alley, but it's just not up mine.
The other one, I always enjoyed it. Like, I like a game that's a ton of drifting. But
I like doing it in Mario Kart, but it's like, I like that balance. I like there to be some racing in there too that's not just drifting. And I mean, I'm not exaggerating when I say like at least 80% of every race is just big turn the other way, big turn. Like, it's just constant. And you have to do the whole like switch A to B to start the next drift and then drift into the other drift. And then it's
Yeah, I get
not
it.
Not grabbing me.
I get it.
The other game I'm having a lot more fun with, and that is Combinera. I'm not sure how you're supposed to pronounce this. I look at the word and say Combinera, but
that
after playing
sounds
it,
like the way you're supposed to say it.
That's what I would think too, but then after playing it, you're supposed to be like combining things. So maybe it's Combinera? I don't know. I keep calling it Combinera because that's what it looks like. This is a new game from Atari, and it's a new IP from Atari. It's not playing on any of their old IP at all, but it plays like an old Atari game. It actually plays a lot like Box Boy too. So it's like this puzzle-ish game but not like a Tetris falling block or even color matching puzzle. It's like puzzle platformery kind of thing. Like you have, this is the obstacle course and you are controlling a ball or a series of balls. And that's where things get super confusing because you move all of them at the same time. So you have to manage what you're doing with all of them at once, and they cannot move independently of each other. So if you're on a course that's got some spikes in front of you, but another ball is on a course that doesn't have the spikes, you can't just roll through. You have to make the jump, because when you press jump, all of your balls jump. When you move right, all of your balls move right.
And yeah, I mean, my balls usually move together most of the time. I knew
there was no way I was getting through that. There's no way I was getting through that sentence. So do you understand what I'm saying? Like,
yes,
no matter
yes.
where they are. And like, sometimes it gets really confusing where some of them are on a different type of gravity. Some of them are on reverse gravity on the ceiling and other ones are on the floor. And you have two different kinds of jumps. You have a jump that goes up one block or a longer jump that can go up to a little over three blocks high. And the balls come in different colors where, like pink ones, whatever color that ball is not affected by things of that color. So pink is spikes. Pink ones can roll through spikes. Green is lasers. And so laser gunshots that fly across the screen, that's the green ones don't have to worry about that. So sometimes you'll be like, well, the white ones they're weak to everything. So I've got to move this white one and then occasionally jump so that the green one gets in the way of the shots that are coming off, so that the green one can absorb the shot and the white one can continue to move safely. There's so much to manage in these weird little puzzles. And the point of each stage is to combine all the balls into one. So as soon as one of them runs into the other one, then those two have combined, which means you have all of their abilities. So if a pink one runs into the white one, now the white one has the abilities of the pink one, so you can roll over spikes to get to a blue one that can survive these blue, like, waterfall-looking things that pound down on the ground. It is hard.
That sounds very complicated.
It is very complicated, but it's like, it's not at the same time. Like, if you play it, it makes sense. And it reminds me a little bit of Portal in that way, where, like, I remember seeing a trailer for Portal and being like, I can't do that.
My brain won't
do that. I understand what it wants me to do. I can't do that. but then I played it. And it's like, okay, I can do this. Now that I'm here, I understand this. And when you have your hands on it, it's a really interesting puzzle game. And it does remind me a lot of Box Boy. It's like that kind of thing where you're just looking at a stage and saying, like, all right, I see what you want me to do. How do I do this? And How do I get there? Yeah. How do I make that happen? And I have gotten stuck on some stages on this where I have spent way too much time just going over and over again. There's no penalty for death. You just keep starting over again, or there's a reset button for each stage because you can get yourself stuck. You just wind up in a position where the stage is then unwinnable. You just hit the reset button, go right back to the beginning. They're all single screen stages, so there's no like scrolling around or anything like that. It's a really cool game. I'm very, very into it. The drawbacks are... I almost wanted to buy it on VCS. Before it showed up for review on Switch, I was like, I should pick this up on VCS. It's like $15. I'm very curious what this is, because it seems like it could be right up my alley. And then I got the review copy, so I didn't wind up picking it up on VCS. I have it on Switch, and I'm kind of glad I did, because John was playing it tonight. He thinks the game's really cool, and he got through a whole bunch of levels. I was very, very proud of him. But it's like, it's good. It's a really good game. I'm so happy that it's good. And there's no way I'm going to beat this before I write a review.
Sure.
In fact, I don't think I'm going to beat this ever. I don't think I can.
I'm not this good.
I'm like 100 some odd stages in, I think, and I am less than halfway done with the game.
Wow.
And, like, they're only getting more difficult for me.
Sure.
I don't think I can do it, which is fine. I don't think this is the kind of game I need to 100% complete to give my review on, because...
Oh, I don't know, Chris.
I know. There's some people out there who would think otherwise, but I do think I get the gist of what this game has to offer. I want to try to get through at least the world that I'm on now to see if they start throwing any other major tricks at me, because like I said, I'm still less than halfway through the game.
Yeah.
But
you would expect maybe a couple of different things to pop up along the way, but probably not too much more.
I would just assume different colors that, you know, do different things.
Yeah.
So like if you've played something like Box Boy or Bridge Constructor or Portal, it's this type of experience. It's a very clever one. The music, there's not enough music in it. It tends to repeat the same like two or three songs over and over again, and they're long and they're very ambient, so it's not really a problem, but it would have been nice to see a little bit more music in it. It does have a good personality. Sure. My big gripe is you can't use the D-pad.
Oh, that sucks.
It sucks because this game needs that level of precision. There are so many stages where like if I move like a pixel further, I'm going to hit a spike and die. But if I could get just right up there, but you're flicking the analog stick to get you a little bit closer, and it's like, I went too far. Because you don't have that kind of precision with an analog stick. You have it with a D-pad. Don't.
Yeah.
And it would be perfect. It would be so much better with a D-pad. I don't understand why it's not an option. I don't get it. Maybe it's an option on the VCS version, but on the Switch version, D-pad does nothing. Maybe I can turn it on in the menus or something. I haven't really messed with that too much, but Combinera is a really cool game. Big thumbs up.
Yeah, it sounds pretty dope.
Yeah. I'm also going to get to review the new Pac-Man Museum, but we haven't gotten a review code yet. So that's pretty exciting.
That is exciting.
But we have a lot to cover, and we still have a piece of listener mail.
Oh, shit. That's right.
So, we just got this one earlier today. Cam writes, when the playdate was announced, I was really excited as I love little gadgets. I do too. Especially ones involving video games. Hey, me too. I was lucky enough to get into I was lucky enough to get into pre-order group number one and was one of the first to receive one. However, curiosity got the best of me and I checked out what price they were selling on eBay. I was surprised to see that they were selling for four times their value.
Jesus.
I've been trying to get my hands on an Xbox Series X, so I ended up selling my Playdate on eBay. While I still want to get a Playdate eventually, I couldn't pass up on basically trading mine for a brand new next-gen console. Should I feel guilty for what I did, would you do the same? P.S. Looking forward to more landscaping tips this summer.
Oh, I did so much landscaping this past weekend. That was one of the other things.
Me too. The stuff that I said, everything has sprouted now. The peppers sprouted today.
Oh, that's
exciting. I really didn't think that was going to come through. So I got green peppers going. All the tomatoes I planted, just yay.
That's exciting. As to whether or not you should feel bad for flipping something like that, I'm going to go ahead and say no. And the reason that you shouldn't feel bad is because your intention was not to rip somebody off, right? Like, we all know, we've discussed multiple times that one of my very favorite characters in the world is Sleepwalker. And getting a Marvel Legend for Sleepwalker this year has been one of the highlights of my action figure collecting and all of that stuff. It's a $20 figure. It's great. I love it. If somebody came in here right now and offered me $100, you can have it. It's not my intention. I don't want to get rid of it ever. But if you're going to come offer me some absurd price for something, like, okay, I hope you enjoy it that much money. Because I'll just buy it again in a little bit when it's cheaper.
Exactly. You're not a scalper.
Right.
And I will say the same to Cam. You're not a scalper. You didn't buy the Playdate to flip it. You bought it and then realized, oh my God, people are spending an awful lot of money on this. That's crazy.
That's just a smart business decision.
At
the end of the day.
If you want a Series X more than a Playdate right now, if you're going to get more use out of a Series X right now than a Playdate, then I say you did the right thing.
You're 100% going to get more use out of an Xbox than a Playdate. That thing's neat. It's not lighting the world on fire, though.
Yeah, I would like to have one eventually because I think it's neat. But at the same time, like, I think it's neat the way the Atari VCS is neat.
Right, and you weren't paying full price for that, too. And, like, we were talking about it last week. Like, one of the most expensive games you have is Hagane.
Yeah.
And whatever it's selling for right now, like $3,000 or whatever, you are not in the market to sell that game.
I'm not.
But you have a price.
But I'm...
You have a price. If somebody came and offered you X amount of dollars for it, you would drive it to their house.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, of course, the million dollar man was correct. Everybody's got a price for your stuff. You just do. That's okay. Because your intention is not to rip people off and artificially inflate a market. You didn't order 12 play dates. You know, you weren't the guy who went around and bought all the copies of Little Samson to artificially inflate the value of it. You're not being a dick about it. Somebody offered you money for something you have.
Yeah, take the money and run. That's exactly it. Somebody offered money for something you have.
Yeah. Yeah, we all have a price on stuff.
Yeah, when it comes to the stuff, yeah, absolutely.
My dad got me a signed Jose Canseco ball. He went out when he was still alive, right? I was a little kid. I was like 8 or 9 years old. He was a cop in North Jersey. He flew out to Los Angeles to do some like cross promotion stuff with the LAPD. And then they went up to Oakland as well. And while he was in Oakland, he knew I was a big Jose Canseco fan. So he tracked down a way to get me a Jose Canseco signed baseball, right? I got a price on that too. You know what I mean? Like, as much as that thing means to me, you know, like there's a price on that one too, because that wasn't the intention, and some things just become too good to pass up, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. At some point, you'll be able to get a play date for around what you spent for it originally.
Much less, if I had to guess.
Yeah, that's difficult. I don't know. I don't know if that's going to be the kind of thing that really drops in price. Because I don't think that's being sold in stores like VCS was.
No, sure, Playdate's but...
only through...
I still see that becoming a pretty niche...
It's going to be a niche thing for sure, but it's going to be like a, you know, like Virtual Boy is now. Like, collector nuts are always going to want these things.
I don't know, because it has nothing behind it. You know what I mean? Like, Virtual Boy
is only... It's got a crank!
Sure. If the Virtual Boy did not have Nintendo branding on it, you couldn't give them away. you just couldn't. Nobody would give a shit. Like, and that's okay. That it does have the Nintendo branding, so it's a valuable
piece of... That's what makes it... Yeah, that's exactly
what makes it. That's what makes it a thing. The Playdate is a neat little gadget, but it's a neat little gadget the way that the Tiger Electronics stuff were neat little gadgets. In my opinion. Maybe I'm crazy on that. It certainly does more than that, but... You know, something like the Analog Pocket, right? I would really love to have an Analog Pocket. I would never pay the crazy markup prices on the secondary market for it. I think it's a very, very cool thing. And I don't think it's a thing that is going to drop in value because of the functionality of what an Analog Pocket is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Whereas the Playdate is just neat. I could be way wrong. I don't think I am, but I could be way wrong.
I mean, I usually am, but I don't think you are either. I think the Playdate is neat, but...
It's neat!
It's never even gotten enough attention out of me to say, yeah, I really want one of those things. I want one less than I wanted a VCS, because, like, at the end of the day, I don't want to play on a non-backlit, tiny Game Boy-looking thing.
No, you just don't. That's okay.
It's not my thing. We were just talking about Mega Man powered up, even on the PSP screen. Like, if it's not at least as big as the screen on the Switch, I'm kind of done. I'm kind of out of that market.
I have an N-Gage. Like, it's neat. I love it. Jay gave it to me. Love Jay. Hi, Jay. I know you're listening. I love that thing.
Where's my N-gauge?
It's really interesting, but like, it goes for more money than you would expect it to go for, I think, but not as much as when it came out, for damn sure. Because who wants an N-gauge? Like, nobody's...
Lunatics like me.
If it were the Nintendo N-gauge, be a different story.
It would be.
Nintendo made a phone that played games. It was shit. I don't care. $6 million. But it's not, you know, like it's a Nokia and no one cares. That's okay. And hopefully, ultimately, I think at the end of the day, Cam, what you have to hope for is that you sold it to somebody who is then going to try to flip it and that they lose money.
There you go.
That's ultimately what you want out of this situation, is that you're taking advantage of a flipper. You know what I mean? Because those guys can all go take a long walk off a short pier, if you don't mind me getting so harsh.
Heartily agree. So, Cam, thank you for writing in. There will be lots more landscaping talk.
Oh, there's so much coming up. So much.
And we think you did the right thing. Yeah. I hope you're happy with your Series X, as I'm sure
you will
be. Yeah,
I hope you love it. Get Games Pass and write us and tell us how awesome it is.
Yeah.
Because it looks really awesome. I hope you love the new Halo game, if that is the thing you like. Or Forza, or whatever reason you wanted an Xbox.
And with that, we need to take ourselves a break, because we've got a whole lot of ground to cover in the back half of the show.
Nah, we got nothing to do. We'll be good.
Yeah, we're fine.
10, 15 minutes. At best.
Yes, when we get back from our break, we will be finishing off this year's Mania beat-em-up brawler bash
bonanza. Tournament.
Bonanza. There you go. You're listening to the Stone Age Gamer podcast from Geekade.com. Stick around. And now, here's a quick look at some of the other original content available now from our partners and Geekade.com.
First up, the Weekend Rental Crew has made it to the Midwest Gaming Classic. On an all-new episode, they discuss their experiences and nemesis from this year's MGC, and probably talk about playing a fancy arcade version of Bust a Move that uses those spiffy guns like in Space Invaders Frenzy. Plus, has Ark survival failed? And what's it like trying to collect video games in a floodplain? I don't know what all those words mean together. I know what they mean individually. Just together, I'm losing it. Find out in Weekend Rental episode 125. The gamers have one heck of a time. The gavers? Who are gavers?
They're the people who gave you stuff.
I'm so drunk.
Next, if you ever wanted to get your hands on a GameCube component cable, you know the official Nintendo branded one is absurdly expensive on the aftermarket. Fortunately for all of us, the fine folks at Retrobit have released the Retro Prism Cable, an all-new and considerably less expensive option for getting your GameCube up and running via component cables. How does it work, and how does it compare to other options out there? Find out in our Retro Prism GameCube Component Cable Overview, available now at the Stone Age Gamer YouTube channel. I forgot how good GameCube games look on component cables on a CRT.
Yeah, they do. GameCube looks great.
I remember,
it's a really good system.
I have the Nintendo component cables for my original Wii, which was backwards compatible. And
right.
I used to have them, like everything, hooked up through a component switch box on that TV that's over there in my basement. And when I set it up,
right over there.
Yeah, right over there. When I set everything up in here, I'm just using standard AV. And when I did this video, I plugged in the component cables. And I was like, oh, damn. Wow.
It's wild, man.
That is a difference right there.
It is. It's like looking at, like, I got a 4K TV. That's great. I have a 4K TV, which with HDR 10 plus or whatever, you're like, how much different could it be? It's a lot fucking different. It just really is. It's absurd. I keep thinking that there are things my eyeballs cannot see, and yet There they are. Finally, Chris, you know this. You were there. On this week's episode of this week's episode, Chris, that's you, gets some great news about Law & Order, Karen guffaws at Avatar, Angie is obsessed with The Walking Dead, and Evan shows up fashionably late. But the only thing that truly matters is this. Evan, our intrepid editor and Moon Knight sycophant, Evan, finally weighs in on the Marvel Moon Knight show. What did the ultimate Moon Knight acolyte think of the MCU's new take on the character? Has he successfully edited all the episodes into one massive movie to watch nonstop in his pants? Find out in this week's episode, episode 252, Did Jet Just Die?
For all this and more from us and our partners, be sure to keep your eyes on Geekade.com. Okay, we're back. We are back, and we are ready to wrap up 2022's mania, right? That's what year it is?
That's right. Yeah, as far as I know, God willing and the crick don't rise.
So, Dan, bake them away, toys.
All right. So, we have got some ridiculous, just absolutely unfair matchups here in the second round. And we're going to start in the Northwest region, because that's just the first one on my computer, where we take the one seed from the Northwest region, Streets of Rage 4, and put it up against the 8 seed, Captain Commando.
I love Captain Commando. It's got a baby in a mech suit, but it's not Streets of Rage 4. So
it's not Streets of Rage 4. You're not wrong. We're just going to type that one down. For a couple of these, we're not going to have too much conversation, but there are going to be some conversations that need to be had. So, unsurprisingly, the one seed moves on, beating the 8 seed there. In the Northwest region, we have the 2 seed, Double Dragon Neon, taking on the 10 seed. Now, see, this is where it gets tough. The 10 seed, Final Fight 2. Chris, where are you sitting on that one?
Oh, boy.
Double Dragon Neon and Final Fight 2. Double Dragon Neon is good.
Double Dragon Neon is great. I love Double Dragon Neon.
It's very, very good. Does the modernization of the formula outweigh the improvements and nostalgia from Final Fight 2? That, I guess, is the big question.
I don't know.
I don't think it does. I just don't think it does. Again, going back to what we were talking about earlier, the personality and all of that, I just don't think it does.
I need to look at some Final Fight 2 footage here.
I'm not saying it definitely doesn't.
Man, Final Fight 2 is good.
It's real there's, good.
There's Mike Hagar's beating up some clowns.
Yeah, right?
It's got the Rolento boss fight.
Oh, the Rolento boss fight's so good.
You know, because he was cut from the first Super Nintendo one. Boy, that Super Nintendo game got chopped to shreds.
It really did. It really, really did. Understandably so. You know, as time goes on, you learn more about programming and what you can do and all of that good stuff, but
there were still lots of lessons to learn with a Super Nintendo.
Oh, for sure. For sure, for sure, for sure.
My heart is telling me Double Dragon Neon.
Really? All right, I'll go with you. I'm with you. I disagree, yeah. but I'll take it.
Putting this one to the tiebreaker, you're gonna just go with me? You're just gonna roll over like that?
I am, yeah, 100%. Okay. I'm gonna roll over, I'm gonna take it, I'm gonna spread them, and just let it happen. Mostly because there's a game that I just think is going to beat it, so it really doesn't matter to me.
gotcha. There's something about the personality of Double Dragon Neon that I absolutely love, and I love this direction for Double Dragon entirely.
Sure.
Kind of absurdity of it, where Double Dragon 4 such a step...
Time out. Save it. You're going to need it.
Okay.
You're going to need it. I can see the bracket. You can't. You're going to need it.
Fair enough.
All right, next we go to the 3 seed, Scott Pilgrim versus the World, taking on the 11 seed, Die Hard Arcade. I don't even think this is a contest.
Nope. Scott Pilgrim.
Scott Pilgrim, right? Yeah. Okay. Let's update.
Die Hard Arcade is cool as hell, but yeah,
It's Pilgrim. Awesome. It's so great. It takes a ridiculously fun Christmas movie and turns it into a ridiculously fun beat-em-up that was unique and interesting and well worth your time. There's not a game on this list that is not worth your time to check out and play through. However, putting the two head-to-head, it's Scott Pilgrim by a mile.
Yeah,
and I think that also qualifies for our next game. That would be the 5 seed X-Men Arcade taking on the 13 seed Sengoku.
I mean,
yeah, I'm already typing X-Men Arcade, so we can move on.
Yeah.
All right, moving over to the Northeast region. We have the 1 seed, Castle Crashers, taking on the 9 seed, Golden Axe 3. Again, Chris, I think this is a blowout.
I go Castle Crashers.
For sure. Yeah. For sure it's Castle Crashers. Which, hold on, let me type the 1 so I don't forget number. Okay. Perfect. All right. Now, moving down, here's where it gets interesting. A little bit, maybe. The 2 seed, River City Girls, taking on the 7 seed, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time.
This, I'm just not qualified for this. I haven't played River City Girls.
Yeah, it's Turtles in Time.
Yeah.
I think there's definitely an argument to be made there, but this is our list, and we are just going to... The nostalgia, the love of that property is just going to weigh out all of the reasons that River City Girls is a technically better game.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, like...
It's not the Ninja Turtles, though.
The look of Turtles in Time, playing... Those 4 turtles looking the way they do and animating the way they do. Even if we're specifically talking the arcade version, like either one, the arcade version, the Super Nintendo version, they both have their strong suits. Even the Super Nintendo one's only 2 players. It's still, there's something about the look of that game and the sound of it. It's amazing. It is so much fun to play.
It's great. It's great. I can't wait to play through it when the Cowabunga collection comes out. So excited for that. All right, moving on. The 6 seed, Knights of the Round, taking on the 14 seed, Knights of Valor. Either way, Knights are moving on.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I default to Knights of the Round on this one. I like Knights of the Round quite a bit.
Yeah, I will definitely concede to you on that one. I don't have a lot of experience with Knights of Valor. And I have a little bit more experience with Knights of the Round because I actually own that game and it's pretty good. So, yeah,
all right,
Knights of the Round it is.
All right, then we move into the 5 seed, Dungeons and Dragons Shadows Over Mystara, taking on the 4 seed, the original Golden Axe.
Shadows of Mystara.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a question. I mean, Golden Axe has its place in history, but I mean, these D&D brawlers were fantastic.
They were something else, man. All right, now,
sure.
This one we might fight about, or you might go on this journey with me. In the Southeast region, the 16 seed, Ninja Baseball Batman, taking on the 8 seed, Final Fight 3. You know where my heart lies. Ninja Baseball
Batman.
Oh, thank you so much.
I don't even think that's a contest. Ninja Look, Final Fight 3 is cool and all, but, I mean, Final Fight 3 is also kind of the... It's got a ton of slowdown, which is really problematic. And it's not Ninja Baseball Batman.
Like, I'm so glad we didn't have to fight about that.
I don't think that's a question at all. Ninja Baseball Batman has such a personality. It's a ridiculously fun game to play.
It's so great.
And that personality really just sets it over the top on. I mean, Final Fight 3 does a lot of really interesting stuff by, you know, doing like the super moves, and Guy can do like a weird fireball looking thing, but at the end of the day,
shorts.
It's nowhere near as fun as Super Baseball Batman, I don't think. Ninja Baseball Batman, sorry.
Agreed 100%. All right. Then moving down, the 2 seed, Battletoads and Double Dragon. Now this will be interesting. Taking on the 10 seed, Armored Warriors.
That was the mech one, right?
Yeah. That one's so good. It's so good.
Yeah, I kind of...
Let me you're thinking. Let me throw out where I am right now. I like Battletoads Double Dragon. I think it is neat. It's very good at what it does. I like Armored Warriors quite a bit more.
I find
Battletoads Double... Okay, good. I find Battletoads Double Dragon to be ultimately forgettable.
There's a lot about that game that is neat in concept, but in practice, I've never found it to be quite as fun to play, and I don't think... I've never thought that the Double Dragon side of it worked as well as a Battletoads thing.
You know what I mean? Agreed.
Like, we were talking about Double Dragon Neon, how that has that completely exaggerated personality.
Yeah.
But it's exaggerated in a different way. Whereas, like, when you're playing Battletoads and Double Dragon, and the Double Dragon sprites do the big mouth and the eyes popping out like the Battletoads...
Yeah, it just doesn't work as well.
It doesn't work as well. I'm not saying it's bad by any stretch. It is a really interesting game. But it's got a very floaty movement system that I just didn't think worked as well as I wanted it to. Armored Warriors is just freaking cool.
It's so good. Rocks. It's so fun. It plays really fast.
Of this game too is
there's
just,
there's an element of like controlled chaos to Armored Warriors that I really really like.
Yeah.
Especially when you've got, you know, multiple people playing through it. That game is just outstanding.
Yeah.
All right. The 3 seed, Guardian Heroes, taking on the 6 seed, The Punisher.
Oh. I my heart is saying Guardian Heroes.
I really want to say Punisher, though. I want to, but I don't think it's the right choice.
Yeah, I get you. Punisher's super cool, but man, Guardian Heroes is such a unique and really, it's really fun. But so is Punisher.
Yeah.
I could honestly go either way on this just from a personality, but I do think you're right. I think Guardian Heroes was where my gut was on that. I think it's a better game. Punisher is super cool, though. It's a great beat 'em up, but Guardian Heroes is... Guardian Heroes is wild, man.
Yeah, it's outstanding.
I need to play more of that game.
The last matchup in the Southeast region for the second round here is the 5 seed, and I've already typed in the results here because I know this isn't a discussion. The 5 seed, Alien versus Predator, versus the 13 seed, Vigilante. Vigilante is a cool game. It's important in the history of beat 'em ups. It is not Aliens versus Predator.
I concur.
That's just... That is a bloodbath of epic proportions.
God, I'm watching gameplay of Guardian Heroes again. Just... This is a Saturn-ass Saturn game. It is so goddamn cool. This is such a neat game. Sorry. Yeah, go on. 100% agree.
I told you last week that that some of these matchups in this particular round were going to suck. And this is, I believe, is the section where they suck. Not this first one. We have the 16 seed Battle Circuit taking on the 8 seed River City Ransom.
I mean, I gotta say River City Ransom. I'm not What's Battle Circuit again? Let me
Battle Circuit again is the one where you can be the weird alien green thing and like the superhero guys, and the Battle Circuit is great. River City Ransom.
Right.
Though, as much as the Kunio-kun stuff is not my favorite beat 'em up stuff, I just think River City Ransom has to move on.
I think you're right. Battle Circuit's super freaking cool. This was the other game in that Final yep. Fight collection on 360. Yeah, Battle yep. Circuit's cool as heck. This game is great. It isn't River City Ransom though. Like River City Ransom's got all that like the shop system and the weird barf personality and stuff like that. Like
yeah.
River City Ransom is I think you're right, it has to move on. But Battle Circuit definitely went down against a champ. So good job,
oh, for
Battle
sure.
Circuit.
All right. Next we have the 2-seed Final Fight 1 for the Game Boy Advance. Remember we yep, kind of made yep, that distinction. Taking on the 10-seed Captain America and the Avengers.
I personally go with Final Fight 1.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. I like Captain America and the Avengers quite a bit. But it's Final Fight 1. All right, this cool. one I think is going to be interesting. I think I know where my heart lies on this, but I'm interested to see where you end up. The 3-seed Streets of Rage 2 taking on the 6-seed, and it's just the way that it played out because I do this, and this is why I do it the way that I do based off of, you know, scores and reviews and stuff. That gives us the 3-seed Streets of Rage 2 taking on the 6-seed Streets of Rage.
Oh boy. I've always liked the first game better. I don't think it's a better game though. I think it's gotta be Streets of Rage 2.
Yeah, that's where my heart's at.
Yeah. All right. I think that is the correct answer. I love the first Streets of Rage though. It's a really cool game.
Alright,
that's
and
the
this
one I played more of, so
this one I think, Chris, is the most difficult one we have. That definitely the most difficult one that we've had so far, might end up being one of the most hotly contested matchups of this entire bracket. And I love that it got down to these two because you have to shit or get off the pot. Do you take the 4-seed Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Arcade or do you take the 5-seed Simpsons Arcade?
Ninja Turtles.
Wow, not even a hesitation.
Not even a hesitation. Because I've gone back to both of those games fairly recently and fairly regularly, and I still find the original Ninja Turtles to be ultimately more fun. Simpsons is a little bit more ambitious in a couple of ways, but there's a degree of fun to the original Ninja Turtles that it nails with its simplicity that I don't think Simpsons really gets to. Simpsons tends to be a little bit more obnoxious by the end of it. And I don't think Ninja Turtles has quite as much of that in it. I just think Ninja Turtles is more fun.
Yeah, I really want to argue with you, but I can't. I can't. I do want to, but I think ultimately you are correct. All right. So that is the second round in the books. We now move on to the Sweet 16, where things get definitely interesting, I think. Jumping back up to the Northwest region, the 1-seed Streets of Rage 4, you and I love that game, taking on the 5-seed X-Men Arcade.
I just want to rewind a tiny bit to pay some respects to Simpsons here. I feel like I came off a little too harsh. Just
I
about
love that game so much.
The sound of being in an arcade. And that do-do-do-do-do when you put a quarter in.
Oh, it's
that,
so good.
That little jingle cuts through arcade sound so perfectly.
It does.
And that game is so good, but it's got some really obnoxious quarter-munching boss fights.
It does.
And I know all the boss fights in those games.
They all do.
They all do. I just feel like they feel especially egregious to me in Simpsons. And that's the only thing that really put it behind Turtles, ultimately, for me.
I will forever love sitting in my kitchen last year as we were building the arcade cabinet for you. You know, having the shell of everything pretty much done, like not painted or decoed or anything like that. and then having to get the MAME emulator running on that older computer that's in there now, and sitting there hooking up the X-Arcade joystick to be like, all right, I got to figure out how to make this work too, because this is the thing. So let me plug this in, and sitting there with my daughter Katie playing Simpsons Arcade on the X-Arcade stick, and her just mashing the button as fast as she could to make Homer have as many lives as she could. She got him up to the 99 lives, and just that do 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 do, like, just, oh, and she was going, and like her screaming as we're playing this game, it doesn't matter, I am Homer Simpson and I am immortal. It's one of my favorite memories that I will ever have. It was a blast playing through that. I said, Turtles is better.
Yeah. That's where it is. All right, Streets of Rage 4 versus
Streets of Rage 4 versus X-Men Arcade. Now, I don't think there's any argument that Streets of Rage 4 is a better game. Like, if you look at the technical aspects of it, looks better, runs better, all of that stuff. Does it beat out the X-Men Arcade game, though? Because we're not just talking X-Men Arcade, we're talking the full Monty X-Men Arcade.
Six players.
We're talking six player,
welcome
dual monitor.
To die.
Welcome to die. Everybody just going nuts.
Wolverine
not being
shooting
super
lasers out of his claws.
So
nobody
great
knows why.
Colossus. Nobody being nobody being upset that they're Dazzler, because Dazzler was kind of awesome.
Uh-huh. Storm's got a wand. We don't know why.
Why not? Why not? She's a witch, Chris. That's
outstanding.
She's a weather witch.
I'm,
that game
I'm a
is
weather
so
witch,
great.
Not a snowplow. Yeah, X-Men is really great, especially
and the X-Men have never looked, and I'm including Marvel versus Capcom 2. I don't think the X-Men characters have ever looked or been as fun to play as they are in that arcade game.
And at the end of the day, I like those characters more than I like the Streets of Rage characters. Streets
I
of Rage
love
is
Streets
extremely
of Rage
cool.
4.
Streets of Rage 4 is a freaking masterpiece.
It's so but great. The download, or the not downloadable, but the, because the downloadable stuff was good too. But the unlockable stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Getting the Streets of Rage 2 sprites along with the regular, you know, way forward hand drawn animation. Was really cool. Man, I am really conflicted on this one. Like, I know what
too.
My gut reaction is.
Like, I know what I like better. I like right. X-Men better because I like the characters better. I like the settings better. I like the setting better. I love X-Men. Especially that era of X-Men. I love that stuff. I love beating up robots and tearing them to shreds and the way they explode.
Love Pyro, the way he jumps in. Blob is great.
Nothing moves the Blob. And like, and he falls on his ass and you keep beating him up while he's sitting there.
So good.
Just the way that you can jump on top of, and Wolverine stabbing dudes on the ground after you knock him down. They're all robots and they explode. So super cool.
I think ultimately, here's the question, right? If you were, if you had somebody standing in front of, in front of you, and they were like, I've never really played beat 'em ups, I don't think I like them, which of these two games are you giving them to play?
I mean, Streets of Rage 4 is a better game, but I think X-Men's more fun.
I think X-Men is more fun, too. What I was going to say with that is that I think I would go X-Men Arcade because it's more simplistic. There's some depth to Streets of Rage 4 that ultimately I really, really like and appreciate as someone who has played a ton of beat-em-ups before. But I think if I'm talking about just pure fun factor, I think X-Men Arcade is the upset here.
I think I have to agree with you, because when I think about beat 'em ups, when I think about the ultimate beat 'em up experience, and for me, and again, it could just be part of nostalgia of like, I love the way this game looks. I love this era of X-Men. This hits every single key to me. And that whole six players working together because of the design of the two-screen cabinet makes that work. You do something like that on a single TV, unless you're, you know, really letterboxing it like they did on the re-release of it.
Right.
There's trying to fit that much action into a full regular widescreen image just doesn't work right. But they made this six player thing work, and there's just mindless robots. I love beating up and destroying robots. I love just that.
Fucking up the Hellfire Club.
It's great. It's great. Yeah, I don't think beat 'em ups get better than the X-Men arcade game for me personally. Like, it's just the tippy top for me. It's a hard thing to beat.
Well, all right, X-Men arcade, moving on and upset. Streets of Rage 4, no slouch though. That game is
it's nothing incredible. Short of a masterpiece. It
you
is
should definitely
the,
play
it is
if
the
you
template
haven't.
For modern beat 'em ups.
For sure. Yeah, 100%. Hundo P. Hundo P, it is. All right, well, moving on to the last matchup in the Northwest region for the Sweet 16. The two, and you know where my feeling is going to be on this, so you're going to have to talk it through. The 2-seed Double Dragon Neon taking on the 3-seed Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
I think Double Dragon had a good run.
Thank you. We were going to have to
that's
fight.
One. I mean, because, you know, that's one that's as great as that one is. We're talking about two modern beat 'em ups from a similar era. And I just think Scott Pilgrim was ultimately better. I love Double Dragon Neon, and it does its personality incredibly well. But Scott Pilgrim versus the World just does that a little bit better, I think.
I agree 100%. I think that Scott Pilgrim game is just outstanding.
It's a more pure beat 'em up too than Double Dragon Neon, you know, less like climbing ladders and shit like that. And
it's a more pure beat 'em up, but it is also such an incredible love letter to Brian Lee O'Malley's series. Mm-hmm. It's just incredible. Like, if you are a fan of only the Scott Pilgrim movie, then there is a lot in that game for you. If you are also a fan of the comic books that it is based off of, it is just fan service out the wazoo, and that's outstanding. It's just great. It's just great. All right, let's move over to the Northeast region, where we have the 1-seed Castle Crashers taking on the 5-seed Dungeons & Dragons Shadows over Mystara.
Castle Crasher.
Yes, agreed. Castle Crashers is just kind of running away with this here. But it's going to come up with some stiff competition here in a minute, because the second matchup in the Sweet 16 round, we have got the 6-seed Knights of the Round taking on the 7-seed Turtles in Time.
Turtles in Time.
Yes. Agreed. Toitles. T-O-I-T-L-E-S. Turtles in Time.
I'm gonna get you, Toitles.
Toitles. All right. This one, man. The 16 seed in the Southeast region, the plucky underdog, Chris. Everybody's favorite beat 'em up. They just haven't played it yet. Ninja Baseball Batman taking on the 5-seed Aliens versus Predator.
I mean, that's not really a competition for me. It goes Ninja Baseball Batman, for sure.
I mean, for me, it personally does. I think there are some that might think we are insane for that.
And I would imagine those people just haven't played Ninja Baseball Batman.
That's kind of my thought, right? Because when you play Ninja Baseball Batman, you're like, oh, I get it.
Alien versus Predator has never impressed me all that much.
That's wild to me.
I like that game, but I don't love those properties. You know, I don't have a big connection to those properties. And so
adore both of them. Well, I watched the trailer for Prey today, the Predator sequel. Prequel. So excited. Prequel, that's what I meant. Did I say sequel?
You did.
Sorry.
I'm crazy, tired, motherfucker.
And I've been drinking. I am more of an Aliens guy than a Predator guy. Like, I even liked Prometheus. So, like, that tells you, like, how deep I am into that. But, man, Ninja Baseball Bat. All right. The 3 seed in the Southeast region, Guardian Heroes, taking on the 10 seed, Armored Warriors.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
That is a tough one. Intrinsically different beat 'em ups.
Yeah, they're really different.
Very,
I
very.
I want to say the Armored Warriors, personally.
I think so as well. I like Guardian Heroes quite a bit. It is a really, really fun game. It falls a little bit short of what, in my mind, when I think beat 'em up.
And it's that the way you have to switch between the three planes, right?
Yeah.
That's really what. I think it's an interesting mechanic, and it does work very well in that game, but just overall for the frenetic action that I want out of a beat-em-up, I don't want to be thinking about switching between the three planes like that. I just want to be able to move up and down. And also, I mean, mechs.
Mechs. Yeah, no, you're not wrong. All right, in the Southwest region, in the Sweet 16, we have the 8 seed, River City Ransom, taking on the 4 seed, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Arcade.
Turtles Arcade.
Yeah, I think that one...
No question.
Is no question in my mind either. TMNT Arcade. And then the second round in the Sweet... Or the second matchup in the Sweet 16, the 2 seed Final Fantasy 1 for the Game Boy Advance, taking on the 3 seed Streets of Rage 2.
You said Final Fantasy 1, which is
funny. I did say Final Fantasy because I typed it as FF, not Final Fight.
And it was Final Fight 1 versus Streets of Rage 1?
Final Fight 1, Streets of Rage 2.
Oh, Streets of Rage 2. I go Final Fight 1, personally. But that's kind of like the eternal conversation. Like, what's better,
Final Fight
or Streets of Rage? And I'm... Ultimately, I think it is more fun to walk around as Mayor Mike Hagar punching and pile driving dudes than anything that you can do in Streets of Rage 2. And Streets of Rage 2 is nothing short of a masterpiece, but I just think Final Fight's more fun. And Final Fight 1, with all the extra Street Fighter Alpha connections, is just freaking good. I love it.
I'm with you. That I wanted there to be... I want to feel more in this matchup than I do, but I think ultimately that's the right call. I love Streets of Rage 2.
You want
to
talk about like mechanics, just like straight mechanics, I think it's a wash. I think both of them do, from a pure gameplay perspective, I think both of them do what they do equally as well. I think that is a wash head-to-head. So you just got to go down to personality. And if
for me, that's always been Final Fight.
If I got to choose between Cody or Hagar Final and Fantasy. Guy versus the characters from Streets of Rage, like Axel or whoever, I don't even know their names.
Yeah.
Cody, Hagar, and Guy are like, they're such good characters. They're ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, the game is about the mayor's daughter being kidnapped, so the fucking mayor goes out and pile drives street gangs. It's amazing.
There is no ballad of Axel, but there is a ballad of Mike Hagar. On YouTube. Yeah. It's amazing. If you haven't seen it, you really, really should. All right. The Elite Eight, Chris.
Let's do this thing.
We're coming down to the nitty-gritty here. The 5 seed X-Men Arcade in the Northwest region taking on the 3 seed Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
I don't know if we're going to see eye to eye on this. I still go X-Men.
I do too.
Really? All right.
I do. Yeah, like I, again, if I'm sitting somebody down for the first time to play a beat 'em up, like here's what beat 'em ups are, and those are the two choices that I have in front of me. I'm going to go with X-Men Arcade.
God, I'm still in the background this whole time since we brought up that last round. I've been watching an arcade playthrough on YouTube that's a 6-player arcade playthrough, and it never stops being awesome. It's so cool.
It's so good. All right. The matchup in the Northeast region, the number 1 seed, who is just, we've just been like, yep, Castle Crashers, Castle Crashers, Castle Crashers. Do we feel the same way when Castle Crashers takes on the 7 seed Turtles in Time?
I do not.
I don't either. I think it's
love Castle Crashers. It's but yeah. It's I don't think it's been going up against the it's been I feel like it's been a pretty clear cut against what it's been going up against. But
yeah, 64th Street, Golden Axe 3, Shadows Over Mystara. But then it comes up against Turtles in Time, and
Castle Crashers is brilliant. It's a wonderful, wonderful game, but Turtles in Time is Turtles in Time.
All right. Oh, this is setting up some juicy matchups. We might be ending the podcast after this. All right, in the Southeast region, the 16 seed, your favorite game, Chris, Ninja Baseball Batman, taking on the 10 seed, Armored Warriors. It's still Ninja Baseball Batman, right? It's still Ninja Baseball
Batman, yeah.
It still is.
It's closer.
It's much closer.
But at the end of the game, again, we're talking like straight mechanically, I think those are, once again, similar to Final Fight to Streets of Rage, they're pretty much a wash.
Yeah.
Like, they're both really cool. They're fun to play. But so then
really
it comes down to
interesting, different.
But then it comes down to personality.
In a sea of shirtless dudes beating up ninjas and gang members, you had Armored Warriors with its mechs and Ninja Baseball Batman with its just batshit,
whatever the fuck that
insanity.
Was. And that's that's really what it comes down to, is like you've got weird robot ninja baseball themed stuff. And it's got such a bright and colorful personality. The character designs are great. It is a fascinating game.
They play differently enough where it's like, oh, I feel more connected to this character versus another. Yeah, it's just brilliant. Yeah. It's just brilliant. And a fucking crime that it's never been anywhere but the arcade. An absolute fucking crime.
Agreed.
Dude, you put that out, limited run games right now, it would be their biggest selling thing. It really would.
It all definitely has a cult following.
Southwest region, the Elite Eight, the number two seed, Final Fight, not Fantasy, only an asshole would confuse those two things. Final Fight 1 for the Game Boy Advance, taking on the four seed, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Arcade.
Ooh. Farts.
I'm Turtles Arcade on this one.
Yeah, I think the four player is what really sits it over the top. Turtles Arcade.
For me as well. Yeah. And you will now see, as we move into the final four, why I didn't fight so hard for Scott Pilgrim. Ultimately, I think X-Men Arcade is the right choice. But the final four, the Northwest region taking on the Southwest region, the five seed coming out of the Northwest, X-Men Arcade. The four seed coming out of the Southwest, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Arcade. Because that is the question.
That is the question, and I think
always
the answer
has been.
Is X-Men.
You think, the answer? Really?
I do, because X-Men has six players. X-Men has the mutant power moves.
Yeah.
Ninja Turtles doesn't have that.
It doesn't. It's only four player.
It's because there's only four turtles. I get it, but I mean... The things that you can do in X-Men that set it apart, because X-Men in a lot of ways is a follow-up to Ninja Turtles Arcade, right? This
right.
came out after
yeah.
Turtles Arcade, and this was Konami kind of perfecting that formula and adding a few extra things without losing the simplicity of the arcade Ninja Turtles. So in X-Men, first off, the individual hits are way more pronounced in X-Men than they are in Ninja Turtles, right? Mm-hmm. The Ninja Turtles have... There's not a whole ton of impact with each individual hit. Each hit in X-Men makes that sound. It's the sound design is definitely a bit more impressive in X-Men Arcade. You've got the six player thing, which is a crazy advantage no matter how you slice it. But then you've got the addition of the mutant power abilities, like that each character has some sort of crazy screen filling, destroy everything move. That is consumable, but also that each player has a different one that functions differently. It's not just like, here's your one move that, you know, kills everything. All six of them have ones that work differently, which is outstanding. And then you have the different grapple moves that are, you know, Colossus has certain grapple moves that other characters don't. Each player can hit characters while they're on the ground, which is something you can't do in Ninja Turtles. I think
what really pushes it over the top, I agree with all of that. But additionally, there is no Raphael handicap.
That is true. Every character every character in X-Men is as good as the others. Like, there is no.
If you get
bad
stuck with
character.
Raphael, I love Raphael. He's not my favorite turtle. Never was. Usually came in second to Donatello, but he is not great. He's just not great. He's okay.
That's fair. Yeah. I've never noticed a huge difference between the turtles, honestly, when playing the arcade game, but I almost
it's
never played
reach.
As Raph because it's I always went for Mikey or Donnie. Like that was just always it for me.
The reach is just so limiting. In a way that there is no such I would argue there is no such counterpart in the X-Men arcade game.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think X-Men is more well balanced overall.
Yes.
That it's six characters that are so unique but also completely balanced. It's wonderful.
It's
and
great.
I love this personality. I love this era of X-Men. The designs,
I do too. The Chris Claremont era.
Wonderful. It's wonderful.
Good stuff. All right. Well, moving over to the Eastern bracket, the 7 seed Turtles in Time taking on the 16 seed Ninja Baseball Batman. Is this where it falls?
I think it might. Yeah.
I don't want it to be.
I hate to say so, but I mean, God, Turtles in Time is so much fun.
It is. It is. But is it more fun than Ninja Baseball Batman? I don't know that I would agree that it is.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't feel like for this specific one, I don't know that I have enough time with Ninja Baseball Batman. Like, I've known of and played through Turtles in Time way more times than Ninja Baseball Batman. I mean, I still haven't played through it to conclusion.
Sure.
God, Turtles in Time is so good. You know, the trouble is, are we talking about the trouble that Turtles in Time runs into is like, there is no definitive version. Like, the Super Nintendo game is amazing, but it's missing some animations. And
two-player.
And it's two-player, yeah. The arcade version is missing stages, but it looks amazing and is four-player. But, oh boy, the things you do in that game. It is so much fun.
It's good. It's everything that was good about the arcade game just turned up.
Yeah, the time travel thing is a little weird, but you know, then it's not all.
But the Ninja Turtles are weird.
Exactly, they're inherently weird, and fighting, you know, rock soldiers and everything looks so good. And
but is it more fun than Ninja Baseball Batman?
My heart says yes, but not by much.
Like, I mean, I think you're right.
I think it's by a hair.
I don't think I can say Ninja Baseball Batman should beat it. I know that me personally, again, sitting down in front of somebody, which game are you playing? I would give somebody Ninja Baseball Batman over Turtles in Time, but I don't think it's the right choice to move on.
Agreed.
Coming up to the Final Four, though, is no slouch. All right, well, that brings us down to the championship match, Chris. The 5 seed coming out of the Northwest region, X-Men Arcade, taking on the 7 seed coming out of the Northeast region, Turtles in Time.
And at no point in Turtles in Time does somebody yell, Wendigo! So therefore, X-Men wins.
X-Men
no,
wins.
I do think, you know, jokes aside, if I'm choosing between those two games, and like as a property, I think I like Ninja Turtles more than X-Men. But you know, as a game, it's just X-Men for me. Like, I just don't think.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever played a more awesome arcade game in my life. I don't think I've ever. It's just one of those experiences that's like, it's so singular playing this game 6-player and just blasting through and fighting Magneto and Juggernaut and Pyro, and the way the explosions look, it's classic Konami just at its finest.
It's a perfect arcade beat 'em up experience.
It really is.
When you come down to it. And I think that's one of the things that I think home consoles have always struggled to match. Basically, every other arcade genre has come home flawlessly, if not better, than what it was in the arcade. I suppose you could argue like light guns and the racing simulator, but we're talking about big peripherals and stuff like that that just aren't feasible in a home setting. The one place where I think the home console has always fallen a little bit short has been the beat 'em up. There is a visceral connection in a physical space with other people, sometimes strangers, sometimes friends, pumping quarters into it, that is just I don't even know what the fuck I want to say because I'm tired. It's you can't recreate it on the home console. That said,
the times that they have tried,
there's really, really good stuff.
There's Scott an amazing Pilgrim advancements. Great. Scott Pilgrim, Streets of Rage 4 are like some of the best examples. Same with, incredible. Castle Crashers. Something about the simplicity of the quarter muncher ones where it's like, you know, you can beat this game if you have enough money.
When I think beat 'em up, that's what I gravitate towards.
Yeah.
Is that particular style. And I think the argument that you made for Turtles in Time, somewhat against it, of there not being a definitive version of it. Like, there is a definitive version of X-Men Arcade. When you say X-Men Arcade, nobody asks, do you mean the arcade version or the Xbox Live Arcade version? Like, nobody, that's not a question that you have. If you say Turtles in Time, you're asking, well, do you mean the arcade, the Super Nintendo, or are you talking about Hyperstone Heist, which is basically Turtles in Time, blah, 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 like all these other things. You know what I mean? And it is a phenomenal game in all of those different avenues, right? Whichever way you wanted to consume that Turtles game, arcade, Genesis, Super Nintendo, you're going to have a good time. You're going to have fun. But at the end of the day, I would argue that X-Men Arcade is the one. And I kind of thought that when I started putting this list together. I was like, man, it's going to be really hard to beat X-Men Arcade. And I thought maybe the only one that might do it for you personally, I thought might have been Turtles Arcade, the original. Just because of your love of the Turtles property. But
I do, but I love X-Men almost as much as I love Ninja Turtles.
But not as much.
But not as much, because, I mean, I've fallen out of X-Men so many times, and X-Men
and
has
never
so
fallen out of Turtles.
Exactly. X-Men has intrinsically changed a lot over the years. I can't get into modern X-Men comics. I want to, but I can't. I'm still reading Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. And but X-Men has never had Usagi Yojimbo in it. And I know he's not in the games, but like that that matters a great deal to me. Whether it should or not. God, if they fit that in the new Turtles beat 'em up, not the Cowabunga collection, but the new one coming out, if I can somehow get Usagi Yojimbo in there, I will shit wherever I am.
I'm just waiting on Casey Jones. I still can't believe that they haven't announced Casey Jones as a playable character.
He's got to be in there. He's got to be. Belly shirt, sweatpants, Casey Jones has to be in there somewhere.
It's just... God, I just want to play as Casey Jones.
That's all
I'm stoked to play as April O'Neil. Don't get me wrong. I'm really stoked to play as Master Splinter. I think that's great. But Casey motherfucking Jones is what I want.
That's what I want.
I want to play as Casey Jones.
Give it to me. Let me have it. This turned out really, really fun. I really, really enjoy these Mania things. I enjoy the conversation it brings up. And I am not surprised. I'm a little surprised and very happy that Ninja Baseball Batman has struck, even though it's a game you haven't finished. I love that it has struck such a chord with you.
Absolutely, yeah.
You were move it along.
Thank you for really putting that one on my radar more.
Yeah.
Because I really enjoy that game. I really enjoy its look, its personality. It is very fun to play.
Our Final Four was great. X-Men Arcade, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Arcade, Turtles in Time, and Ninja Baseball Batman. I think ultimately coming down to X-Men Arcade, Turtles in Time is the right call, and X-Men Arcade being the winner. Like we said, there's really not a bad game out of these 64 that we did. And keep in mind, these are not the only 64 beat-em-ups in the world. There are plenty more out there. There's new stuff that I didn't include on the list just because I didn't think we could speak to it enough to really have an informed opinion on some of the newer stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, I fucking love beat 'em ups. I love them.
Me too.
I love them so much. They're so great.
Well, this was indeed a hoot.
Really want this X-Men arcade game playable on my PS5 somehow.
Yeah, I'm really really wanting that X-Men arcade game to be on modern consoles currently. I just want it.
Yeah.
I want it. Make it happen. Please do.
Konami. All right. That's it. We're done. Mania in the books for another year. What are we doing next year?
I think puzzle games, right? That was the puzzle, other one. Puzzle games.
Man, that one's going to be weird.
It is going to be weird.
All right. What's going to be Tetris?
I don't know. Picross.
Is it, though? I mean,
I don't know. I'm just right off the gut. I have no idea what beats Tetris.
Super Puzzle Fighter 2? Turbo? Maybe?
Good stuff.
But no. Puzzle games are so hard because they're so intrinsically different.
Yeah. We'll figure it out. We got a year to figure it out. We'll right now, there. I got to work on trivia. Because next week is trivia.
That's right.
Yes. That is our show. Thanks for listening to Mania. Join us next time for the return of trivia time. Yes, I'm sticking to my goal of doing 4 in a year, and we are on schedule to continue that trend. This time Dan will be facing off against Greg and Joe of the SNES podcast. So I expect lots of Sega Genesis questions.
Sweet, I know what to study.
We are on most social media platforms, and if you want to get in touch with us, we aren't very difficult to find. All it takes is a quick look at our show notes, and you'll see links to our social media accounts, as well as all manner of other fun stuff, like a link to our namesakes, StoneAgeGamer.com, the Geekade Patreon, which helps keep this show running week after week, and more useful links than you can shake a joystick at. This show's theme song, Squared Roots, was written by Banjo Guy Ollie. You can learn all about his wonderful music and more by following the link to his YouTube channel, also in the show notes. And finally, as always, we'd like to thank our intrepid editor, Evan, for making the show listenable for all you folks, and we'd like to thank all you folks for listening in the first place. Thanks again, everybody. On behalf of Dan and myself, keep playing games.